with God, right? So go with me to Psalms 32, and I'll show you a little picture, and then we're going to talk about foundation tonight. I think we all agreed when we left this morning that the most important part of a house is what? The foundation. So when you build a foundation, what do you got to do? If you go over there and you see a hill and say, I want to build my house right there, what have we got to do? Just build a house? Huh? What we got to do? You got to dig down a solid foundation. You might even have to do some leveling with the dozer. And you may have to dig down. And so, this is why I chose this psalm tonight. I think there's a lot of people, when it comes to the Christian life and trying to know God and get themselves to heaven, they're surface Christians. But you'll never be what God wants you to be till you dig down and you get a good foundation under you. And I promise you, there's a lot of people who sit in church buildings who never will make it to heaven. So let me say this on the other hand. There's some people who's not sitting in church buildings who will make it to heaven. Because getting to heaven had nothing to do with going to church. It's about knowing Jesus. And you can go to church your whole life and you can quote Scripture and you'll know a verse for every situation that happens to you. And when somebody gets cancer, you pray. And when you have trouble, you pray. And you pray, you pray. But that does not mean you know Jesus. Until you have that good foundation, you will never go home to be with the Lord in the end. And let me say this, for those who may be skeptical today, say, I don't know all about this Jesus stuff anyway. What's happened today in our culture is people that have, that's my age, that have children, their children are becoming half-believers. They sort of believe in God. They believe in God, but they don't necessarily believe in the whole thing like we say. Have they ever seen the sticker on the back of the car that says coexist? You need to research that. That philosophy is all over Danville, and that philosophy is all over this world. In other words, it's not a way, it's just a means. And we all can get there. We all go in the same place anyway. It's just how you're trying to get there. And I want you to know that is not true. I'm not telling you have to be a Baptist. I'm not telling you got to be a Methodist or a Nazarene. But I'm telling you this, you've got to know Jesus or you'll never go to heaven. And you got to know more than just know the story. He has to become the Lord of your life. And I tell you, there's a lot of people who've never made Jesus the Lord of their life. And you'll never be able to. You might get an education, you might get a marriage, you might get the things you want upon this earth, but you'll never be happy until you live the way God wants you to live. Because God has a purpose for your life sitting in this room tonight. And if you're not in His will and you're going toward His purpose, you will always fall short of being happy. You will just exist. That's why I think it's really ironic that the little sticker says coexist. I don't want to just exist.
Amen.
I just don't want to exist. I want to get more out of life than just being here. And breathing a little bit of air and then one day not breathing any air. I don't want to just exist. I want to make a difference in the world. And God wants you to make a difference in the world and He's going to help you, but you've got to build your life according to His way. So let me read you this a little bit from Psalms 32. Every time I read the word Psalms, I think about one of the young pastors I was working with in Belize, and he calls it the Pasms. So turn to the book of Pasms tonight, okay? Book of Psalms 32. Let me just skip you down to verse number 3. This psalm that David wrote, there's a question. I ask this to a lot of people, and they all look at me kind of funny. Does the Bible say that our sins are forgiven forever? Does it say that God forgets them? Be careful. You ever thought about this? Every time the Psalms are written and read, and in the book of 1 Samuel is read, chapter 11 and 12, it's David's story over and over and over again. Is it forgotten? I'm looking at you, Brother Greg.
Puts them as far from them as the east is from the west.
All right. David didn't forget. Who wrote this? I thought it was the Word of God. I think sometimes we've got to realize forgiveness is forever. But we serve a God who knows everything. I think when it comes to the forgetting part that you and I are all interested in, and I'm interested in as well, when I stand before that judge one day, I've got to give an account of it. And I'm telling you, He paid for it right there. But listen, He knows what you did. Y'all can nod with that because I'm telling you the truth. If this is His Word, and the Bible is Holy Spirit breathed, right? That's what they told me in Bible study, Brother Godby. They told me this was God's breathing, right? This is the Word of God. And He recorded exactly what David did. And I'm thankful He did. Because I can learn a bunch about what David's going for. How many of you have ever been messed up in a sin? Three people. That's pretty awesome. The rest of you, this is the only church in Denver with a halo over it. We got visitors tonight who's letting you know it's a perfect bunch of people. There's no sinners in here. I'm just lying. It's full of sin. They just hate to admit it. So here's what David's going. David has had another man's wife. David has had her husband murdered. Y'all with me? David's lied. I mean, he's broke half the commandments in like a week. All right? But we know David as being a man after what? So you ever wonder what David went through? You don't have to wonder because he wrote it in a book. He made a song out of it. Okay? Verse 3. When I kept silence. How many of you like to talk about the bad stuff you've done? I just keep it to myself. Don't that just make it go away quicker? How many of you just sit and stew over it? Think about it. Dwell on it. David says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Somebody translate that to where I can understand that. What does it mean, my bones waxed roaring all the day long? What does that mean? Huh? Say it, Greg.
Arthritis.
Greg says arthritis. He was hurting from the inside. I'm telling you that when you do wrong, it can physically affect you. You don't sleep well. You don't eat well. You don't rest. I mean, you don't have... You're in misery. You could get ulcers from it. I mean, you and I can do things that just mess our lives up. And David said, from the inside, I was just being ate alive. Look at verse 4. I think this even gets better. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. David realized where this was coming from. How did he know this was coming from God? Because if you read Psalms 51, David said, it's against thee and thee only have I sinned. When you and I mess up, you and I sin in our lives, that was between you and God. It affects other people between you and God. I think that's pretty cool. And David said, your hand was heavy upon me. I want you to see this. He says, my moisture is turned unto drought of summer. I read that last week. I read it again this week. I'm thinking, you know, I really never preached on that little spot. I always just kind of just like read it and jump over it. You know why I read and jump over, Jamie? Because I don't have a clue what it meant. But like this week, God like gave me a little insight on what that meant. Have you ever been so thirsty you'd gave anything for a drink? You ever been like that? Like, I need some. I'm thirsty. David said this is the way it was with God. He said, your hand was so upon me. He said, it's like being in a drought in the summertime. I need a drink. What I need is, God, I need to hear something from you. I need something, God, that only you can give me. You know, that there's not a person in this world that can take that guilty feeling away from you but God. You can get preachers. You can get a prayer circle around you. You can do anything and everything to try to get that fixed. But that's between you and God. And David knows this. Now, don't leave me. He says, I acknowledge my sin. You know, this morning when we were talking about the foundation and I was closing the sermon, this morning I said, you know, until you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't build a life. Here's what David said. I acknowledge my sin. You know what I've realized the biggest problem we have in America? Nothing's our fault. Come on, y'all can nod. I'm telling you the truth. I can blame somebody for everything. Can't you? That's why every other commercial is the heavy hitter or the tiger or somebody. Why? Because they're just ambulance chasers waiting to sue somebody. If you've taken this drug and you died, we can sue them. I'm thinking they're dead. Who's going to get the money? You know, the doctors are giving you the drug. Now you're using you for guinea pigs. So if you die next year, somebody's going to sue them and get the money. Everybody's looking to sue everybody. You know why? Because nothing's our fault. But I want you to know something. When it comes to making things right between you and God, somebody's got to take the blame. And I'm going to just give you a heads up who it is. It's going to be you. Because nobody held a gun to your head, and nobody made you do this. There was a point in time that you had a choice. Either I can either punt, or we can go for it, right? And how many of us have said a punt and goes for it? Y'all can, like that, or just nod. Don't raise your hand tonight because they might see you. Just nod. It's true, right? We'd rather go for it. I mean, we sit there and weigh the odds and we weigh the difference and think, you know what? And how many of us sometimes can prove this was what God really wanted us to do? Y'all could smile on that one. I think this could be God. So look what they've said. I acknowledge my sin. This word's a cool word. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And mine what? I thought iniquity was sin. What's iniquity? It's relaxed. Come on, y'all relax. This is Sunday night, y'all can relax. What's iniquity? You got Miss Nan's agreeing with you. If you look up the word iniquity, you'll find this. Iniquity means wickedness or immorality. So this is the word that goes with sin. So I acknowledge my sin, and I also acknowledge the wickedness and immorality of my sin. The nastiness of it. Sometimes we want to make sin a little prettier. You know, like we put a little nut on top of it, make it pretty, like a little whipped cream and a cherry on top, and you know, it's a sin, but it wasn't iniquity. But what David said what I did was immoral, and it was just outright wicked. And he said, I acknowledge that part to you as well. He said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. There you go. He forgave the wickedness and morality of my... He just didn't forgive the sin, I got to live with the guilt now. He forgave the immorality and wickedness of my sin. That's what we need tonight. That's digging down to the foundation. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you are fessing up to Him. I remember a few years ago, a gentleman got saved at our church, and it was at this altar right here, and it was before church started. I met him here, we came up here, and all of a sudden he said, you mean, preacher, I just talked to him like I'm... I said, you just talked to God like you're talking to me. And I said, you just let Him know what you're sorry for. He started talking out loud, and he started naming names, and he started naming stuff. And I guarantee when he's done praying, my face was red as a beet. You know what he said when he got done? He said, I sure feel better. I'm like, wow, I feel horrible right now. I didn't know you did all that stuff. That's bad. Woo! That was bad. But you know the cool thing is, it wasn't about how I felt, Dove. I was just there with him praying. He was letting God know how he felt, what he'd done. Once he started opening up the floodwaters, Brother Dean, it came out. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to pray, and I'm thinking, I hope nobody comes in. I hope this is rated R. Maybe some of it's X, and kids don't need to be hearing this. But I mean, right there, he's just letting God know. And I'm telling you what, he felt good after it was over. Because he'd been living with that guilt and that iniquity, that wickedness and that immorality. You know, you could ask God to forgive you and you say, okay, God forgave me, I know about the cross and everything, but you still think, I can't believe I did such a horrible thing. But here's what David said, I'm going to confess not just the sin, the act, but I want you to know that I know how wicked that was. and just how immoral that was. Isn't that cool? How many knew that already, the iniquity part? How many learned that tonight? Let's sing a song, Brian. I'm done. If they learned something, we're done. Let me finish. You knew you couldn't get out that way. He said this, "For this shall everyone that is God," verse 6, "pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." What does that mean to be compassed about with songs of deliverance? Not that a dun dun dun, not that deliverance. It's a different kind. What's he talking about? Songs of deliverance. Let me tell you what I think this means. How many of you, when you're dealing with something with God, like everything around you seems like it brings it up? A song you hear play, well, that song's about... Somebody reads the scripture, and that, wow, like, how does he know what I'm doing? Y'all ever had that happen? You think that's coincidental, or you think that's like all God? You say, it's none of your business. I know it's none of my business, but you know whose business it is? It's God's business, and God likes to get in your business.
Amen.
He really does. He loves being in your business. Because he's got to go. Remember, his goal is to build a house that will stand and make a difference in this world. And he's going to use your life to do it. And he's got to dig down into this foundation. And he's got to get you to understand how big a deal it is when he died on the cross. It wasn't just a story that was told. It wasn't a movie that you watched. But when he died on the cross, he died for the wickedness and the immorality that you and I commit. Isn't that cool? And he did it, why? Because he loved us. Because he loved us. Now look what he says. He says, "I will instruct thee." This is the part I did all this for. "I will instruct thee and teach thee" what? What is our problem today, you think? Exactly. I kind of know where God's headed. And I, you know, this looks like the right way. You ever study like the Exodus when they left Egypt and they're headed to the Promised Land? Do you know that was like a 3-day journey if they went the way that was straight? But you know what God did? He took them down around by the Red Sea, hung them up there for a while, got them across, hung them up there for a while. They wandered around for 40 years over here. But you know what? When they finally got there, they were so tickled to death to be there. You ever been on a road trip with kids in the car?
Amen.
And everybody, you know, I got to go. You stop and go to the bathroom. Is everybody, I don't need to go. You get about 10 miles down the road, and the one that didn't go has got to go. That don't work in our car. Y'all got to hold it. Now, I'll tell you what. When you stop, you edit this, Calvin. When we stop, there are people climbing out the windows of our vehicle trying to get out. Because they know Dad was not kidding. They want out. What do you think it was like when they finally crossed over into the Promised Land? Man, I wish we were back over there wandering around. No. We were tickled to death. Y'all, no, we don't want to go back over there. I don't care if I ever see Egypt or that part of the world again. I'm over here. I'm going to hang out here. You know what? God knows the way that we got to go. But we got to wait on His leadership. Look what it said. "I will instruct thee," this is God talking, "and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go." Jamie, this is a good one for you. He said, "I will instruct thee," but then he said, "I will teach thee in the way thou shalt go." Every one of us don't just want to be told what to do. I've known Jamie long enough to know this. If you say this is the way we should do it, Jamie's going to say this, because he's a lot like me. Well, why? How many why people do I have? How many just take it for face value and say, okay, he said I'll do it? Raise your hands. How many are why people? He said I'll do it. Where's the why people? I'm the why people. I got to know why. So this is where the teaching comes in. God knows how we're made. We're made and created what? In His image, His likeness, right? So He knows me. And he knows it. Steve, I just got to teach you. And when you teach somebody something, tell me what that means, teacher, to teach. You're a teacher. You got a degree. You got an award. Tell me what it means to be a teacher.
Sharing what you already know.
All right. What's that mean to the one being taught? All right. You know what God's doing, Greg? He's teaching me something He already knows. But you know what? I don't have a clue what He's up to. Y'all with me? I don't have a clue, Scott, what God's trying to do. But God does. He knows He's my teacher. He's my instructor. I will instruct you. I will teach you what? I will, then I like this part because this is, to me is the key. I will what? See, this is why I was talking about this morning. And I had to do this again tonight because I want you to see something. You can be taught. You can be instructed. But that still doesn't give you the permission to go on and build your life now. What does a guide do? Say it louder.
Shows you the way.
Shows you the way. And where's the guide at? Is it the Barney Fife? I got to tell this story because this happened. This was true. We were in Belize. Everybody's in Belize, right? We're in Belize and it's church night time. When I get back home, we have a dog outside. And that dog, when that dog's barking, going crazy, we know something's going on the inside. We bought the dog just for protection in case. So when I pulled in, the dog's going nuts. So I told Shelly, I said, you better hang back. So I opened up the door, and right beside the door was some Kool-Aid and a sandwich. And right in the middle of the floor was our passports and all of our paperwork and everything. Somebody was robbing us, and when I pulled in, the dog went crazy. Now, I don't know if the people are still in the house or what. But all I know is I didn't put a Kool-Aid sandwich and I sure didn't put my passports and stuff in the middle of the floor. So I called the police in Belize, and here's the funny thing. They don't have a vehicle. I had to go pick them up. So I go pick up this police officer. And if there's ever a Barney Fife that lived in Belize, I have the guy. So I've got him, and I got Rochelle, and I got all the kids. I think we're in a pickup truck. And I got everybody in the back end. And all I could find was a softball bat. So I got this police officer who does he have a gun? I don't think he had a gun. So we're going in. He told me to go on in. I'm like, you're the guy with the policeman. So we walk in, he's behind me, I'm with the baseball bat, he's behind me. And he said, you probably ought to check on the bed. I'm like, you checked on the bed. He was no guide whatsoever. You know, I mean, I don't know if they're in there or not, but I don't know if I really want to find out now because my protector's behind me. He said, won't you check on the bed? He said, did you check in that closet? And I'm like, no. You check in there and I don't know. Never did do anything. I drove him back up and let him off at the police station. He wasn't a guide. You and I need a guide through this life. Let me tell you why Jesus is the best guide. Because He left heaven and He came here to live. He was born just like you were born. He grew up with brothers and sisters, just like some of you grown up with brothers and sisters. He lived in a world where some people liked Him, man, and some people hated Him. And some of you can understand what that's like as well. And He finally ended up where enough people hated Him that they killed Him. I was watching the news at the airport. ISIS arrested like 20-some Christians, put them in cages like animals. They killed them. Listen, they hate Christians now just like they did in Jesus' day. They hate what Jesus was about. They hated about this love and forgiveness. They hated that. And so here's what happened. Jesus came and He lived. He went through every struggle you'll go through. Everyone. Yours just has a different name, but the struggle is the same. He knows what it's like being a teenager and being pulled to the world and being pulled to try to do what's right. He knows what it's like to be a young man and realize what relationships are made for. Jesus never sinned. He never even had a dirty thought. And you know why He did that? Sure, He did it to pay for our salvation. But listen, we stop there too much. He did it for more reasons than that. Let me tell you what else He did it for. He did it so when Dubs tries to walk through this world one day, he would have a guide who's already been here. And knows the temptations he would go through, knows the struggles he would go through, and he said, listen, Dove, I've already been through here once. I know how this works. I know every place to go. I can get you through it. You know what? You need a guide. The trouble is, none of us want a guide. We want to guide ourselves through. Y'all ever do that? Y'all ever guide yourself? I'll tell you one more, and I'll give you one last verse to go home. About 28 years ago, I came home from the 3-11 shift, and I said, Rochelle, you want to go snow skiing? She said, you're crazy? I said, I'm serious. Let's go snow skiing. Some of the people at work was going snow skiing. I'd never been snow skiing. I thought, can't be nothing to it. I water skied. Snow skiing's got to be a piece of cake. So at 11 o'clock at night, we pack up and we drive to Butler, Kentucky, to the ski area. So the next day, for $5 extra, they will give you skiing lessons. I'm like, I don't need skiing lessons. I got this. You know what I did? I put them skis on, went from about here to that pew, fell. Got up, fell, getting up, fell again. Finally got up enough, got composure, ran right through where they were practicing, knocked about 20 people down in a ski instructor class. Finally got the hang of it, and I seen this sign that had like a black diamond on it. I thought, looks like ours. I cut down through there. Next thing I know, there's a jump. Jump, I don't know, it's probably higher than my head. I hit that jump, landed up in the woods. Can I tell you who needed an instructor? I did. I needed a guide as well, because with that instructor group, they would guide you down the bunny trail, which is what I should have been on, not the black diamond. So if you go skiing tonight, don't go the black diamond unless you're a professional, okay? But we all are like this. You ever build a house before Dad? No. We can build one, though. I know we can. We did. We built it, didn't we? It's still standing. 29 years and it's still right there. But you know what? Learned a lot along the way. What God has said, let me save you some agony and pain.
Amen. That's right.
I've already walked through here once. I will guide you through here. I will tell you where not to go. I will tell you where to go. I will lead you to people to talk to. Shell met a lady from where? Bosnia. She come up. She thought she knew Rochelle. She just started talking to Rochelle. Rochelle says, I'm not her. Before we left, I gave her my card. She's going to come to Danville to visit. She said, I don't have any friends in America. I said, well, right here we are. Then she said we could drink coffee. Rochelle don't drink coffee, but she'll drink coffee with the lady from Bosnia. You know what God does? God guides us to people and places because He knows what He's doing. So my challenge to you tonight is don't make this trip on your own. You need a guide. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you could go home and read this. The Bible tells us that He is the master builder. And He said, if anybody builds upon this foundation, talking about Jesus Christ, his life will be wood, hay, stubble, a golden precious stone. In Matthew chapter 7, He gives us the story of the wise man and the foolish man. Where'd the wise man build his house upon? And what happened when the rains came down and the what came up? The floods came up. What happened when the rain came down? The floods came up. Huh? The house on the rock did what? Stood firm. The foolish man built his house on what? Here's the cool part about that parable, this story. They both had the same storm. So don't think because you're saved you probably won't ever get cancer. Don't bank on that one. Don't think because you're saved now that you won't have any struggles. Don't bank on that. Don't think that your marriage won't have any trouble. Don't think that your kids won't have any problems. Don't think that you'll never have financial needs. Just because you're saved doesn't mean none of that could happen. That means it's very possible all of it will happen. The difference is what kind of foundation your life, your house is built on, whether that house will stand or what? Or fall. I love how Jesus closed that parable. He said, and the house on the sand went. And it said, great was the fall of it. Why do you think he said great was the fall? Well, let me tell you why. The greatest fall that ever happened in your life, the greatest fall that ever happened in your life is to die and wake up in hell. I don't know everyone's situation in this building, heaven or hell, where you think, what you know. But I would dare say this. I don't think there's a person in this building who doesn't think that there's something after this life. I think sitting right there in that seat, you said, preacher, you know, I don't understand all this Jesus stuff and God and church and all that. But I do think there's something else out there besides this. I say that's 100% across the building tonight. And I'm going to tell you how come I know that. Because it was put inside of us from the day we were born to know that there's a higher being. So no matter where you go in the world, you're going to find a group of people up some river somewhere who's trying to find their way to that other place. And I'm telling you today what the Bible says, not me. There's no other foundation that can be laid that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you've got to know Jesus. And if you want to build this house on the right foundation, you've got to dig all the way down until you find that sin in your life, that nastiness, that wickedness. You say, you know what? I think we all could sit right here and say, you know what? We're not that bad of people. We're not ISIS. But I promise you, if you dig deep enough, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find some wickedness. It's immoral. You will. You just keep digging. And that now you're getting down to where you can get a good foundation. You get down there and you understand that you're a sinner. Now you can ask Jesus to forgive you of those sins. Come into your life. And save you. Amen. And upon that foundation, He wants to build a life. He wants to build a life that will be a witness to the world. So stand and pray. I don't know any needs in the building tonight except one. If you're lost, you need Jesus. If you're saved today, I'm asking you, are you letting Him be your guide? Or are you just kind of going in front and kind of making your way through? You need a guide tonight. And you need a guide who knows where He's guiding you to. He's got an end for your life. He's got a place He wants to get you to. And you've got to follow Him. And if you're there tonight, I just ask you to follow Him. If you're not there, I ask you to search Him and say, God, I want to follow You. Maybe you're a David tonight in this story. You say, God, you know what? Like every day I think about this and I think about this and I realize it's You that's keeping Your hands upon me. And I want that forgiven tonight. Listen, you're at the right place. God wants to forgive you tonight. He wants you to walk out of here feeling forgiven. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for everything You've done. What You did on the cross. What You did since you rose from the grave, what you're doing today. Lord, I pray that you will guide this service. Lord, I've never been through this service before. This is my first time. So Lord, I don't know what the needs are in this service, this invitation, but Lord, you know. So Lord, I'm just going to ask you to guide me tonight through it. If there's needs here tonight, Lord, I just pray that you impress upon those who might need to come forward to pray, that you'll help them tonight to just give them the courage to step out of their seat and come to this altar and pray. Whatever the need is tonight, Lord, I'm just asking for your will to be done. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye